The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
It's the final hour, and we appreciate you being here. We'll get to your phone calls in a couple of moments. Matt Mershell joins us from the Orlando Sentinel, talking about a number of things, including the portal, especially how the Florida schools are leaning on analytics to manage the chaos. We'll talk about the ACC and Florida State as well. Matt, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. So let's talk about your piece on the analytics. I just thought people check their computer, see who was in the portal, and then the bidding war began. You have a different view. What have you learned in your reporting?
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, that when a coach opened up the portal, he looked at, saw who was in there, and decided to make a phone call. But turns out, you know, that a lot of these programs, you know, have their recruiting staffs put together actual packets or video packages to provide the coaches, to give them an opportunity maybe to look at some different things about a player. And in some cases, it can come down to simple things like height and weight and speed. Other things that can come down to is academics, how much eligibility they have left, how many snaps maybe a player has taken. Even goes down to, in some cases, with the family. You know, if there's athletes in the family, you know, maybe what something that can kind of give someone a little bit of an edge. So spoke with several of the programs down here in Florida, and they talked a little bit about how they're able to put this together. It's a group effort. Obviously, a lot of the recruiting staffs are with a lot of people with students and their actual recruiting advisors. They try to find a way to get this information to the coaches and as quickly as they can, because unlike high school recruiting, you can't sit there and wait for a year or two to build a relationship. You've got to do it actually in probably a matter of minutes.
Yeah, well, we had Hugh Freeze with us the other day, Matt, and he said, especially with like a quarterback, you have to decide. You can't make a visit. You just have to know. So I know there are a lot of analytics that, you know, we hear so much about that. You know, all started back with Moneyball. But is it basic information, or is there some is there some setup where it gives a good, bad, or indifferent rating on a player?
Not so much so like a rating. You know, most of the people I spoke with said, you know, it's just a system to kind of keep track of everything, keep everything kind of in order, to be able to look at. And a lot of the analytics that are involved, like, you know, when you get down to it, you really kind of have to rely on what a coach feels as well. You know, when you actually get an opportunity to talk with the player, you know, does he fit kind of what you're trying to do? Is there something going on, you know, that maybe he can bring something to your, you know, the chemistry you're trying to build in your program? But there are some things that they look at. I mean, obviously academics is a big part of it. In some cases, they look at, you know, how much eligibility is left. They definitely want to know maybe geography. You know, are you transferring because you want to be closer to home, or you want to come closer to a relative? Those are kind of things they can look at. But there isn't one thing or one or two things that maybe a program will say, yeah, this definitely will help us. I think snaps, you know, the number of snaps a player plays is probably going to play a big factor in it. You want to get someone with experience. You want to make sure he's out there. And then, you know, in the end, you know, it's also word of mouth. You know, some of these programs reach out to former programs and former coaches and ask them, is there anything maybe I need to know about this player? Because in some cases, maybe there's something that maybe will force you to shy away from bringing someone aboard.
Matt, certainly a lot of our fans and probably the younger ones don't remember the 90s when the rivalry in college football was Bobby Bowden versus Steve Spurrier. Now we have Mike Norvell versus Billy Napier. And from a distance, it just seems like the programs are going in opposite directions. What's it like you're in the central part of the state, just from an observational standpoint about how this battle is going right now?
It does feel that way, especially over the last couple of years. And to be fair to Billy, again, taking over a program, you know, where you really kind of have to flip the roster and bring in some of your own players, you're putting in your own system, your own philosophy, all those kind of things. It can be difficult at times, you know, and I think, you know, he's faced some of those challenges as well. And he's got a fan base that's really rabid. You know, they wanted to win and they want to show that that's kind of success. But then you look up the road and you got Florida State now, which, you know, when Mike Norvell took over in 2020, you know, was really, there was nothing there. There was no depth. There was no talent. There was very little athleticism. He had to really rebuild that roster, and he's done it really through the transfer portal, with a little bit of high school recruiting as well, they've started to find the success. They've kind of had the perfect blueprint. You know, it's taken them a couple of years, but coming off that 10-win season last year, things seem to be kind of clicking now. They return a lot of their talent. A lot of their players wanted to come back. Jordan Travis comes back at quarterback. Jared Verse is back on the defensive line. All those players were, I think, will be a key component for them. And now they're getting buzz in the state. Now, all of a sudden, when you talk about who's the top team in the state, it's Florida State right now. And I think that's helped them. That's helped them on the recruiting trail. That's helped them, I think, when it comes to ticket sales, all those things. And for Billy, I think it's going to take him a little bit of time to get there. I think if he can recruit a little bit better, I think he's going to add some pieces through the transfer portal. They've got to identify a quarterback this year. It may be another difficult year on in the win-loss column, but I think in the end, if things kind of go the way he kind of thinks it's going to go, you know, Florida can find its way to get back there as well. And they need to, because I think what makes the state of Florida fun is to have the Florida States and the Floridas and the Miamis and the UCS. All those programs need to be successful. I think that just makes it fun for college football fans.
Certainly, UCF has a familiar coach in charge, but I wanted to ask you first about Cristobal, Mario Cristobal, because you know he has the rep as one of the great recruiters in college football. But what we've seen so far on the field has been a mess. But what impact is he having down there? And I realize recruiting is national now. It's not just like it used to be. But what is your view from where you are about what he is doing?
I think he's, again, much like Billy, I think he's trying to really get the fan base back a little bit. You know, he knows Miami fans have really kind of struggled over the last couple of years when it comes to their allegiance to the program. He's trying to get the fans back. You look at what he's brought in, some transfers. He's had some unfortunate, you know, some situations where they lost some coaches on the, you know, this offseason. They had to replace those as well. He needs to build a little bit of consistency. I think when the wins start coming on the football field, I think eventually, you know, you'll see that success kind of follow with it. You're right. He's a great recruiter. He's done a great job in South Florida. There's a lot of excitement in that program. There's a lot of expectations. I think, unfortunately, when he arrived there, the expectations were almost unrealistic. And Miami fans thought that this was going to be an opportunity to compete right away for a national championship. That clearly was not going to be the case. And it's going to take them a little bit of time. But, you know, patience is something that college football fans really don't have sometimes. And I think it's something that Miami really needs to kind of rely on over the next couple of years.
Finally, Matt, Florida is such a talent-rich state. And there was a stretch when Nick Saban, especially in South Florida, had come down there and was really making a living. Kirby Smart is not far away. I realize recruiting is a different game than it used to be. There are no such things as state borders, but what when these coaches like a Cristobal or a Napier or Norvell or even Gus Malzahn at UCF are battling for the top players in that state, who are they battling against from outside of the state?
Well, I think they're battling with the Georgias. You know, Georgia's been here. It really has done a good job. Kirby Smart's done a great job of being in the state of Florida and trying to get some of the top talent here, whether it's South Florida or Orlando or Central Florida area. You know, I think, you know, obviously Nick Saban's come here times with Alabama. You know, Ryan Day at Ohio State, Michigan's come down here as well. You know, you're starting to see some schools, you know, even from Texas. You know, Texas is coming here occasionally and grab some players. It's really interesting. You mentioned this, you know, about a decade or two ago. You know, it was really, you know, when a kid grew up in Florida, he thought to himself, I'm either going to go to Florida, Florida State, or Miami. Now, you know, you've got so many options out there, and programs are coming in. They're showing success. You know, the conferences are realigning. You know, you're seeing some of those programs, for instance, UCF going to the Big 12. There's going to be some of those Big 12 schools. I'm sure they're going to really press hard to come into the state of Florida to try to grab some of those kids. So it's a big battle for the state schools to try to retain the talent that's here because, again, you're competing with programs right now that are at least in the top 15 of rankings and are constantly being seen on every Saturday night, you know, college football playoff games. So they have to do a good job, and they have to make sure they convince these kids to come on and stay with these programs.
Matt, finally, it's been a long week for the ACC. They all got together today, and I think they sung Kumbaya. I'm not sure. I didn't understand what the words were. But in terms of what we just got through talking about, I realize that young players are not paying as much attention to this stuff, but just from an overall standpoint, your view on the week that wasn't for the ACC.
Yeah, it really was an incredible, if you think about it. You know, they went in with, I'm sure, thinking what's going to happen, and all of a sudden it starts out with what is it, the Magnificent Seven, you know, these seven schools that are basically looking into the grant of rights and trying to decide whether or not they can find a way to get out of there. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Jim Phillips today, this morning, talked about, you know, everyone's on the same page. We're all together. We're working hand in hand. And I'm not necessarily sure that's the case. I mean, I'm sure he wants it to feel that way. But again, I think this conference, there's schools in it right now, including Florida State, that are eager to figure out how can we make more money. They're looking around and they're seeing the fact that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be, you know, $30, $40, $50 million ahead of them every year when it comes to revenue. And it's a scary thought, especially when you think of the big picture of how you are going to compete, you know, on that kind of level. So they're trying to figure out any way possible to make this happen. And Jim Phillips is doing his best as commissioner to try to make sure everyone's on the same page, everyone's happy. They're looking at a revenue distribution model that maybe can help provide a little bit extra money, but it's nowhere near in the realm of $30 million and is going to make up that gain. So, but he's got to do everything he can. And I think right now it's about convincing those seven schools and anyone else who's on the fence, listen, we're all on the same page. Let's sit down and figure out if there's any other ways we can come up with any additional money. Let's not push this any further than we have to and kind of get everyone to, like you said, sing kumbaya a little bit. I'm just not sure if that's going to happen right now.
Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel. Many thanks. Really great to welcome you to our program. We'll do it again very soon. Thank you, Matt. We head to the break right now. More of your phone calls the rest of the way.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back. Let's head above the border. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, it seems like, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like Georgia, the Bulldogs, they're going to have number one recruiting class coming up in 2024. Am I correct?
Ari Wasserman said here yesterday it is right now on a path to be the best class ever.
Well, that's right. So that means in Alabama, everything is crumbling. I wonder who's going to cover their medication when they choke all the fans. I mean, I don't think they have enough money in their wallet to cover. Donald Trump's stipend covers it. I don't know. Someone needs to cover it. Alabama, your dynasty is officially over. So if I were you, I'll get those medication for the chronic choke and all the choke out there. But let me tell you who called in last night, Mr. Feinbaum. Not mine, but your cockroach jerk. AJ, you would always be a jerk, just like Matt in San Antonio. One of the losers of all classic losers. Well, Mr. Feinbaum, I love you, I love you.
Can you imagine? I'm glad Canada has him, aren't you? Matt is in Los Angeles. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, man?
We're okay. Thank you.
Listen, I wanted to call because I hear everybody talking about Alabama trying to figure out what's going on with them. And it seems to me, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on it, is that when Saban switched the offense with Kiffin and has relied on the quarterback, I just wonder if you think it just eliminated their toughness because they don't seem to be as developing as well.
Well, since that moment, Alabama has won three national championships. They have lost in the national championship game three other times.
Do they look scary to you? Because they don't.
No,
they
no,
they
don't. I mean, but they don't look like the intimidating, suffocating teams of the past. But very few schools do. Primarily because the game changed. Now, Georgia's managed to figure it out a little bit differently. It's a cliche now, but Georgia looks a little bit more like those great Alabama teams of 10 years ago.
Well, do you think losing Cochran had something to do with that?
I don't think it helped Georgia because he didn't go there as a strength coach, but it could have affected Alabama. Alabama went more analytics, more scientific-based than just hard-nosed, scream-in-your-face Scott Cochran. So it's a fascinating question, though, and I am very curious to see what some other people think about that because I've had a lot of people in Tuscaloosa tell me they really like what's going on, but it's hard to – Scott Cochran is, to me, one of those irreplaceable people. Thank you very much for the call. Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Paul, I was just listening to the show, and all these people are dogging Alabama. I mean, I'm a Georgia Bulldog, die hard, but it's still Alabama. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just everybody's dogging them and wanting them to do bad.
Well, I think so. I think some of that is schadenfreude, where people just they think that Saban, you know, may have slipped a little bit, and they're going to pile on because he has beaten everybody's brains in for the last 20 years. Larry is up next.
Well, I'm going to tell you, that caller from Canada, AC, I'd like to pinch his little head off. I bet that guy is about 5'4", wears big old black horn rim glasses, and probably weighs a buck 05. And he probably gets
Larry,
drunk
you,
on
you,
three
you, Larry, you have just described me.
Yeah, I know. You're a little taller.
Although I do weigh more than a buck 5.
Yeah, he can get drunk on three beers. He drank one, spill one, and give one away. I want to tell you, man, Alabama, I don't know where these people are coming from, brother. But this class this year, 23.
Well, Larry, is this the same call we heard yesterday and the day before? Because otherwise, we'll just go ahead and. I mean, do you have anything else to say? All you're leaning into is Alabama's recruiting class. That's it.
Quit trying to step on a good call. I won't be like Tim.
now he's quoting I-Man. That's how sad you've become, Larry. Is now your best line of the day is a repeat of I-Man.
Call me that. You call me anything but I-Man. Call me A-O anything. No, don't call me I-Man. No, please. No, I'm just telling you,
they
man.
They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. They call me
the
I-Man.
I want to ask you. I-Man, yeah, he's Smoky Mountain. I'm going to tell you something.
Well,
hey
Larry,
job,
before, but, Larry, what do you have against I-Man? He's a good friend of ours.
He's Auburn jerk, man. He talks about Saban all the dang time. It don't matter what happened, he's got to bring Saban in something. If there's a store robbery down there, he's going to Saban probably have something to do with it. He's probably driving the car. You know, I mean, he's just that way, man. He just dogs the tide just constantly. I mean, He's like a thorn in my side, man. You know when I
well, you
I
know what I want, Larry. It's been a long week for everyone. I want you and I-Man to become friends again. I-Man, help me out here.
Here, Nick, take what this. You smoking one? Don't you know what, I-Man?
Hey, I-Man, if you've got one, pass it to two of them. Randy and I would like a puff.
You know, Larry,
it's sad even better.
Me because Larry is sad that you're quoting me, but I appreciate it because that's a really high compliment when you're actually taking my words, using them correctly. But, you know, I heard something on the internet, and it was a little beeper that went around little Nicholas's neck says, "Help, I've fallen, and we ain't getting up."
Real money. He got real money. Hey, won't you come fishing now, man? Come on, fishing trip, boy.
Larry, no more fishing trips, okay?
It's not that I'm scared to go fishing with you, but I do like to come home, and I'd hate for you to get wet.
Yeah, right.
Because I promise you, if I go in the water, you're going with me.
Listen, I can do that Zulu dance all over your ass.
Larry, listen, you're not in good health. Do not be don't be threatening, I-Man.
I'm good, bro. I'm ready, boss. Yeah.
Do we have the translation of what he just said yet?
Anybody hits me, I'm gonna sue them.
Hey, it's like this. Yeah, if me and you go fishing, it's gonna be like the last Alabama Auburn game where it goes to overtime. And this time you will be the wetter man.
Oh, man. You know what?
Have I got to sit
you
there and wait for you to put the sleeper hold on me while you take a nap?
Hey, I'll tell you what, Jack. I'll put you in one. You'll go. You'll be out like a lot.
Larry, you're over the sleeper hold days, okay? This isn't the good old days.
Larry, you got to hush for a little bit. When you put the sleeper hold on somebody, the idea is for them to go to sleep, not you.
I can't even see that, Paul.
Larry,
you have to accept
you're on the senior tour of tough guy boxing, okay?
I'm going to tell you, anybody hits boxing. Me, I'm falling down. I'm going to sue their ass. Anybody hits me,
you
I'm going to sue their
Larry,
ass.
Larry, quit while you're ahead so nobody don't give you a screen test.
Listen, Smokey, where's your bandit? I mean, you know, yeah, that's right. I know you was messed up at that charity thing. You didn't know where your drums was at. I had to show you. Oh, where's your drums out there?
No, you
oh, where are those, you boy?
Larry, you would know. You mind if I stepped in and just threw the towel in? Because I think
I done knocked his ass out. Bam! He's down.
This is really got it's sad to watch. A once great call.
I feel like I need to go over to the piano in the new room at the nursing home and play Hey Jude or something.
Yeah, you'll be in the nursing home when I get through your ass. You'll be in one.
I get Larry up on the dance floor and we'll be doing Saints Come Marching In. I mean, you know, anything.
Hey, Paul, listen to you letting him talk, man. Give me a damn word.
And you know, when we get through and Larry's dancing, then he can hit his little Nick Saban sound-alike button and says, "Help, I'm falling, and I ain't getting up either."
Yeah, that's right. But one thing about it, man, we whooped that ass, didn't we? We whooped that ass. Yeah, baby.
I'm going to call an end to this because Larry the nurse told me I have to take you back to your room.
More damn eager.
Roll tide.
That was brilliant. Just brilliant. We will take a break. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Joe is up next. Hello, Joe.
Roll Tide, roll Paul Feinbaum. And you know what? Hey, I feel like I'm drunk and high just listening to that phone feud with our man and Larry. I mean, it's just – I mean, it feels like I'm, it's something you'd hear like in a country western bar. I mean, that's pretty much what it sounded like. I mean, I love them both to death. But, man, it's just like, you know, I mean, you get drunk and high just listening to that right there. I mean, it's just – you know, they're having a good day, better day than I'm having, it sounds like. But anyway, I want to have to say a couple of things. First, AC up in Canada, hey, he needs to hit the transfer portal and call somebody up because nobody here care about anything he got to say. And I want to say this about Alabama football. You know, right now, people's counting Alabama out. You can't count Alabama out, Paul, because, our quarterbacks may not be elite right now, but, I mean, half the championship Saban has won at Alabama has come from average quarterbacks. In fact, the first three did. I mean, we had a better defense then. So, you know, we can get by with an average quarterback if our defense can hang tough. But after that, you know, you can't take much from spring game. But after that spring game, you know, I don't know if our quarterbacks is just that bad or the defense is just that good. And so, you know, Ty Simpson, you know, he had one interception. I mean, it was a good pass. It was just even a better interception right at the goal line. I mean, their defensive back just stretched out and caught that, just stole that one. I mean, so it ain't that they're just that bad. Maybe their defense is just that good. You know, that's not what I'm hoping for anyway. I'd be an Alabama fan. I've got to hope for something, you know. Hey, without hope, you know, you're lost. So, but anyway, Paul, that's about all I got. But, hey, Larry, man, take you some
hey,
passes.
Hey,
take
Joe, how did your doctor visit go?
I've got my hernia grew a little bit. And I've had to had to increase my strength in my protonics. I can either do surgery or just increase the strength of my protonics, and I'm just trying the medicine first. So, but, you know, all in all, it ain't nothing severe. My heart's good. Aneurysm grew just a little bit above my heart. But all in all, it's nothing that ain't treatable. So, you know, these people are a lot worse shape than I'm in. So, you know, I thank the Lord for that. So,
Joe, good to hear. Stay in touch. We'll talk to you very soon. AJ is up next.
Hey, hearts and prayers go out to you, Joe. We're thinking about you, even though I cut on you here and there. That's what the game's all about. Hope everything goes well and you heal up and get better. Hey, it looks like, Paul, you had the senior citizen slugfest a while ago. That was pretty epic. I tell you, that was that was pretty good. Pretty good. But, AC, I want to address you. You know, you're an aspiring Canadian. That's what AC stands for, an aspiring Canadian. You know, you're such a terrible American. You want to be a Canadian, AC. You need to find some other playground to jump up and down on. But Paul, I want to tell you a story about this rat in my boat. You know, I got a rat in my bass boat, and I've been trying to catch it. And I keep setting out the trap. I keep setting the bait, and it seems to measle his way in there and get it and not set the trap off. But today, I said, you know, I think I'm going to go listen to Feinbaum for a minute. And then I hear you tell this guy that Auburn's only going to win 7 games, Paul. You gave us a 7 game. What? I mean, come on, Paul. You know what's worse? Listen, I said, you know what that rat in my boat is? That's fine. That's the Feinbaum rat. He weasels his way in there and steals the cheese. And Paul, that's what you do. You go in there and steal the cheese on what? But the thing about it, Paul, is this: that kale that you're eating when you give those asinine statements about Auburn going to only win 7 games. that kale that you're eating, you need to quit ordering it from the Colorado dispensaries, Paul. That's not kale, brother. You're higher than the Alabama fan base.
AJ, appreciate you laughing because you don't have any company with this call.
It does. That's fine. I don't need any.
Did you find it funny, Randy?
I entertain myself just like Larry does, you know? I just don't do it with a Bud Light can. But the thing about it is, listen, your you saying those things about Auburn's only going to win 7 games, Paul, that's speculation, okay? Your word against mine, okay? You believe they're not going to have a successful season.
AJ, we're not in court here. We're offering opinions on a college football season. That's all it is. Why do you take it so personally?
That's right, because the kale that you're eating has got you higher than the expectations of the Alabama fan base beating Kirby Smart this year. Auburn is going to win 10 games this year, Paul. They're going to win 10 games.
Now, that is
okay,
funny.
If he frees – huh?
I said, that is funny.
No, it's not. That's the truth. If he frees can take Liberty and beat SEC – you know, a moderately, you know, it's not Missouri, it's Arkansas. He actually has some professional capabilities within himself. He takes Liberty and beats Arkansas, and you're only going to give us 7 games, and we got the portal we're working with, and everybody's in hysteria all across the SEC this year with everybody leaving.
Well, AJ, let's, we'll throw up the Auburn schedule here just for fun.
I tell you, well, for fun.
I'm going to skip over the first three games and let's go to the fourth one. At Texas A&M.
It's Jimbo Fisher.
It's either one of two possibilities, a win or a loss.
Well, I mean, the first thing is Georgia's the fourth week.
All we want is win or lose. I have a lose. What do you have?
I have an absolute upset of the century. Okay. Auburn will positively beat.
Okay. I'm only asking for one word. Georgia loss.
Wrong.
At LSU.
Hey, you wanted one word, Paul. You didn't know
at LSU,
I was so educated.
Loss. I've got you three straight losses here. Ole Miss at home, not sure about yet. Mississippi State at Vanderbilt, I'll give you a win there. At Arkansas, loss. Bama, loss. Those are my four.
At Arkansas, loss. You beat them with Liberty, and you're going to say, God almighty, Paul. I'm going to tell you what.
Did he bring his team from Liberty?
You are the rat in my boat. You are the rat in my boat. You know, you went from a bottom-sucking catfish on the bottom of the lake to the rat in my boat.
I got Auburn with 5 losses, and I'm trying to be respectful more than you deserve from us. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.